seed. Mashes one to right field, and that's worth three. And the Royals lead 8-0 in the second inning.
And the Royals, much like one of the worst teams in baseball should, nearly blew the 8-0 lead. Actually, they did blow the 8-0 lead, I should say, but they recovered. Michael Massey, 12th homer of the year. Ryan LaFever, voice of the Royals, was with us yesterday on the Sports Ticket. If you missed that interview, go to the podcast page on kittycoach94.com, Sports Ticket Podcast, and listen to that interview. As the Royals lose game one of a doubleheader yesterday, 6-2. Win game two, 11-10. White Sox up 5-0 in game one. Brady Singer gave up 5 in the first. Went 5 1/3. He's 8-11. His velocity's dropped. That has to be a little concerning. And then in game two, the Royals scored 4 in each of the first and second innings, capped by a 3-run homer by Michael Massey, as you heard. Royals are up 9-0 after 3. Jordan Lyles had a perfect game through 4, and then it all fell apart. He ends up getting no decision, and the White Sox score 8 in the 6th to tie the game at 9. But Logan Poyter, the rookie who was called up making his Major League debut, scored in the 7th on a hit by Garcia, and the Royals end up winning the ball game 11-10. Matt Cotrero on the ups and downs of game 2.
You never know. You know, they get out to the big lead in the first game, and they did that to us last week, too. We came back and won, and then this game we get out to a big lead, and they come back. You know, this is a hitter's park, you know, so a lot of times there are high-scoring games here, but give our guys credit, because when they tied it up there, that's a really demoralizing inning, and for them to bounce right back, score again, take what was given to them, and then add on, that's a lot for them to do.
Royals are now 45-101. The two teams finish their season series at 6:40 tonight in Chicago. Coming up, K-State in focus. Oklahoma City's going to have a new arena downtown. And the Chiefs make some moves to make sure that Chris Jones is available to play for their team this year after he ended his holdout. And we'll tell you about a pub in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that the patrons were feeling really good about everything watching the Jets game, and then at the end of the night they realized, uh-oh, that's coming up. Plus, Seren Petra of 810 WHB Kansas City talk Chiefs football. Well, I'll start this off with local sports. Last night I watched Beloit sweep Minneapolis, and it wasn't really close. Beloit controlled 25-14, 25-18. Minneapolis came in record at 10-2. Beloit ranked second in the state. They're now 14-2. They crush them in the second match, 25-9, 25-15. Beloit now 14-2 on the season. And this first time I had a chance to see Beloit was Sophia Thompson added into the mix, because she wasn't eligible to play until September 7th. And then September 9th, the Southeast Sling Tournament, they went 5-0. And I tell you, when you look at Beloit right now, their volleyball team, to me, they are the top contender for Heritage Christian. Now, there's other teams I know that are good out there, but when you have Addison Budke and you have Miley Brown, and now you got a middle blocker in Sophia Thompson, and Thompson's a very good server, too. Mm-hmm. So, and they've got 3 or 4 girls that can jump serve that are really good jump servers. They just got to find maybe a little more consistency there. Boudreaux's got a really good serve when she's going. And then Dakota Gray is a nice complement in the middle, and then the Fallis twins do a great job of setting the ball and passing the ball, and they're all over the place. And then Peyton Remus knows her role, comes as a defensive specialist. I mean, Beloit last night, and they should only get better once they get more acclimated and playing with Sophia Thompson. But that's a volleyball team that very impressive last night, and honestly didn't play their best. They played well, but they had service errors and made some mistakes, but it was not much of a battle. Really wasn't. Didn't think it would be, but it really wasn't, especially that second match last night. So they're legit. They're absolutely legit, and we'll see if Beloit could, you know, later on, late October, whether or not they can make state, which I figure they will, and then see if they can win their first ever state volleyball title. Because right now, I would say they're one of the very top contenders.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to believe that they're not, the way they're playing. The way they're playing already without Sophia, and then add her to the mix.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of unfair.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
It doesn't seem that way to them, obviously, and to us, but I'll bet it does to the other people.
Listen, and Beloit's got girls that aren't even playing volleyball, or girls that play JV that would start for quite a few teams in the state.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's just, it's a plethora of riches that Coach Paul has had and is using. No need to feel bad about it.
You can't say they haven't done the work to get to where they're at.
They have talent, and then they work at it really hard, and they've built a program over there. There's no doubt about it. And Beloit volleyball was not what they are today years ago. So there's, it takes some time for people to build a program. And when you build it, then the next challenge is to keep it there. And the ultimate goal is to win it all. And Beloit's been to the state championship once. They've been top four in the state, I think, three or four times now. So they're knocking on the door, no doubt.
Other scores from last night, Thunder Ridge Triangular, St. John's Tipton won both of their matches. They swept Thunder Ridge in two and beat Pike Valley in two. They're now 10-2 on the season, the Bloody Jays, and Thunder Ridge beat Pike Valley in two in the other match. Lakeside beats Lincoln in a best of 5-3, 7-1. Also, Soap and Lucas Triangular, Soap and Lucas over Osborne in two, and they beat Natoma in two as well. Soap and Lucas now 10-2 on the season. Osborne beat Natoma in three in the other match. Tescott Triangular, Rock Hills beat Tescott in two, and they beat Southern Cloud in two as well. So two wins for the Luddy Grizzlies. The other match there, it was Tescott over Southern Cloud in two. And then Ellis Triangular, Smith Center beat Ellis in two, and they beat Norton in two as well. Smith Center's now 6-0 on the season after their two wins in the Mid-Continent League last night. So Smith Center and Beloit will be at the same tournament this weekend. So that'll be interesting to see them. They're at the same spot at Republic County. So if you missed any of those scores, if you want full scores from the sets, you can always visit ncksports.com, the latest there at all the volleyball that took place last night. Coming up here this evening, we do have high school football locker room chats. We'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Tomorrow night, we'll talk with coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, and Rock Hills as well. You can always catch our locker room chats if you miss them on the Locker Room Chat podcast at katycountry94.com.
So I have to tell this quick story. I'm there for the stream. I'm not calling the matches and watching a little bit. And then the JV match and second varsity match, I didn't have any help. So I was running the camera and clicking on the scoreboard. And part of the reason I didn't help for the second varsity match is because they were still playing on. Those young ladies who helped me out have done a great job this year. I appreciate them so much. They were busy playing on the north court. But anyway, the student section was kind of getting a little bit rowdy and loud, which is good. That's a good thing. I like that. For the second match, football team was out of practice, and all of a sudden they start counting 1, 2, 3, and I look over and I see this individual that's doing push-ups, because at the timeout, Beloit had 8 points and Minneapolis had two, so I guess they decided, let's have somebody in the student section go ahead and do push-ups to the amount of points that are on the scoreboard. So like 4, 5, and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, that kid looks kind of familiar doing those push-ups. And then I realized it was my son. I didn't even know he was going to the volleyball matches. I had no idea he was there, and he was doing 8 pushes. Now, Caden Lomax, you got the short end of the stick, brother, because he had to do 17 when there's a timeout, 17, and he's not a senior, so that's called senior's rule type of thing. But anyway, it was good to see the students out there supporting the volleyball team last night. That was very, very cool to see. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, K-State football team ranked 15th in the polls, and they are 2-0 with a convincing win, pulling away in the second half over Troy last weekend, 42-13. And they get Missouri in Columbia. K-State absolutely rolled them last year, but it wasn't a good day weather-wise. And Chris Klieman's here today in his press conference. You can't put a lot of stock in that game last year. It wasn't easy for the quarterbacks to throw the football. Brady Cook's way better than he showed last year. He thought the weather had a big thing to do with that. But the K-State defense has only allowed one touchdown through the first 8 quarters of action this year. And even though they're off to a good start and they played well, Chris Klieman at his presser yesterday said the defense can get better.
They're playing well. I think there's more in them on defense, for sure. A couple things I'd say about that is, you know, we're still we were better in block destruction on the perimeter this Saturday than we were the Saturday before, with some of the bubbles and some of the perimeter run where we were able to get off blocks. We still are missing a few too many tackles. You know, some of the things that we're showing people, you're not running into that, and if you are running into it, we're probably going to stop it. We've probably got to flip the script a little bit because of, you know, some people, whether or not we're exposed a little bit in the passing game, haven't played as well in the passing game. Some of that is because we're just short in the passing game, trying to outnumber them in the run. And it's a great philosophy of that. Make people one-dimensional. Don't let them run the football. We're now facing a group that can do both. I think they've got great balance to run to pass. So Coach Kleinerman's got to do a great job of disguising looks and changing pictures.
Well, this should be the toughest test of the season early in the year. KE State at Missouri, 11 a.m. kickoff this Saturday. We'll talk more about it coming up on Friday. But Chris Kleiman's thoughts on the defense and how it can improve. Our focus on KC Athletics today brought to you, as always, every Wednesday by Heineken Electric there in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Oklahoma City has finalized plans to build a new downtown arena for the Oklahoma City Thunder. The city announced this yesterday. The Thunder have committed to play in the new arena for at least 25 years, according to the city's news release. The plan to construct the arena and the Thunder's commitment is conditional on the passage of a temporary 1 cent sales tax by Oklahoma City voters on December 12th. The projected cost of the arena will be a minimum of $900 million. Thunder ownership has committed to contribute $50 million. I'll come back to this. As this very public discussion played out over last year, the people of Oklahoma City have overwhelmingly expressed to me two desires. One, keep the Thunder for as long as possible. And two, don't raise taxes if it can be avoided. We have accomplished those two priorities with this plan, and it is truly a win-win for all of us, said Oklahoma City Mayor David Holt. Perhaps the most important aspect of the deal is the length. This is twice the commitment we received in 2008, and this will keep the Thunder in Oklahoma City here beyond 2050. If you don't know the background, Thunder used to be the Seattle Supersonics. They moved to Oklahoma City. Of course, it became the Thunder. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden. They went to the NBA Finals 1 year, lost to the Heat in five games. And that kind of, you know, spurred a lot of excitement in Oklahoma City. I've been to games. It's fun. It's great area down there, Bricktown and everything in OKC. And they're going to build a brand new arena. And I say, hey, way to be proactive, way to be progressive, way to make sure your team's going to be there past 2050. I think it's great. I have one thing. People should vote for a 1 cent sales tax. All the money Oklahoma City Thunder bring economically to that town. I mean, I go and spend money to go watch the Thunder. It creates a whole bunch of jobs. If there are people saying, oh my God, I don't want to pay one more cent. It's just a 1 cent sales tax. I don't think you're going to really feel that too much. 1 cent. Okay. 1 cent sales tax. And it's temporary. However, that's for them to decide. If they don't think they want to vote on that and they want to put the thing down, that's fine. But here's my thing. The projected cost of the arena is a minimum of $900 million. Thunder ownership is committed to contribute $50 million. When you hear $50 million, you go, wow, that's a lot. You know what that comes out to and computes to? And let's repeat this. The minimum, the cost of the arena is $900 million. Odds are it'll be higher than that.
Yeah.
The minimum is $900 million. Do you know what percentage the Thunder ownership is actually kicking in when you do the math?
That's 5%.
It's 5.5%.
If it actually is only 900 million.
So here's the thing for me. We've got these multi-billionaire owners of all these professional sports teams, whether it's a group of owners like the Royals or if it's the Hunt family like the Chiefs or Jerry Jones of the Cowboys. And I understand it's good economically for the area and so forth and so on. And we saw this with Jackson County taxpayers having to talk about the renovations of Kauffman Stadium. Now they're asking for money for a brand new stadium for Kauffman Stadium, right? They're going to be in one of, they might be in Jackson County, Clay County, whatever they're going to be. They haven't decided that. The Chiefs are eventually going to want a brand new stadium as well. And the Chiefs are going to want help from everybody. And that's going to be your taxpayers, right? And the Chiefs have a whole bunch of money. And it's not like Clark Hunt couldn't go ahead and put, you know, don't tell me he can't put $150 million towards a $1 billion project and pay for 15%. Of course, he can. I would be stunned if he can't. So here's the thing. It's kind of like Oprah, and no offense to Oprah Winfrey. She donates and helps people. But when I hear some entertainer, they're donating $1 million. And I'm like, yeah, and they're worth $100 million. So they gave 1%. Like, there are people in everyday society that give 5, 10, 15, 20% of their paycheck to the church or to community organizations or donate to help people, but that doesn't make headlines. But if Oprah gives away $1 million, or if some big-time actor or actress gives away $1 million, Taylor Swift gives away $1 million, and I'm not knocking these people. But you sit here and go, wow, that's a ton of money. And it is. But when you figure out how much they're worth and how much they actually make, it's less percentage-wise than regular Joe Schmoes do. And so when I see 5.5% for a $900 million project, I say, that's not that much. But when you put, it's all about context, right? It's all about numbers. So when you read the story, people are just going to gloss over this and not do the math. $900 million.
I did the math right when you read it.
I did, but most people won't. People be like, oh, okay, the Thunder are paying for $50 million. Well, that's cool. At least they're chipping in. Yeah, but that's $850 million they're not.
Yeah.
So taxpayers, apparently, taxpayers and how the rest of this is going to be funded, because, and maybe there's more to the story that I don't know. I just had the story ESPN put out there. Sometimes they don't fill in all the blanks. But the Thunder ownership has committed to contribute $50 million. That's only 5.5% of a project that's going to be higher than $900 million. And I'm sitting here going, you have all the money in the world. You should be able to kick in more than 5%. That's just my feeling. With any owner in any major professional sport, you should be able to kick in more than 5%. And then you come back to the taxpayers and you beg them for money. We need a downtown stadium to keep up with the Joneses. We need this and that. You know what? That's great, but not every single taxpayer is going to enjoy it. You know why? Because they can't freaking afford to go to Arrowhead now.
Yeah.
You can't even afford to go to Arrowhead now if you're a regular person. And if you do, hello, run up the credit card bill. So I know this for a fact because I want to go to a game, and I'm going to go to a game, and it's going to cost me serious money. And I've debated to do it, and I'm like, you know what? I only live once. I will do this because I have a connection to get some great seats. But I'm paying a significant amount of money for them, but less than I would on a ticket broker, which is great. But I'm sitting there like, many people can't do what I'm trying to do there from that standpoint. And so it just kind of irritates me. I'm all for new arenas, do this, do that. I'm all for the Royals getting a new arena. Don't get me wrong. They need a new stadium. They do. They do need a new stadium. They need it somewhere else. There's nothing to do out where they're at. I'm all for the Royals having a new stadium. Location-wise, I don't know. It depends on where they pick. What I'm not for is taxpayers paying almost the entire bill when the owners are loaded. That's my problem.
Yeah.
Kick in
it's
more.
Insanity, man. Like, kick in it's more. Like you say we wanted to do this without raising taxes. Well, you technically did have to raise one tax. I know it's only a cent, but it's going to go around all the way, and it's going to affect everybody there that might not have anything to do or want.
Don't care. Don't
I don't care
go to
if
games.
It's just 1 cent. Right? It's like,
I'm not
I don't
there.
Support the Thunder. Why do I have to pay a cent for this?
Exactly.
An extra cent. And like I say, like you say, it's only a cent, but it's on everything you're going to buy.
That's right.
In that town. So, you know, that's going to add up for however long that temporary addition is. Yeah. But, you know,
and be
I
careful
it,
the word temporary, too.
Yeah.
We're supposed to taxes originally started as a temporary thing back, and now it's a very permanent thing.
And it's like, what happens on the temporary? Because I don't know that I ever see sales tax go down.
No. No. It's kind of like gas prices.
It's
they
like
go
they
up
just
faster
send
when
it
they go
to
down.
Something else, right?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. To make room for Chris Jones's newly restructured one-year contract, which is a heck of a deal for the Chiefs. I'll get Seren's feelings on that in a moment. Chiefs needed to create some cap space. They did that. They restructured the contract of guard Joe Tooney to create $8.5 million in cap space for 2023. The move will send some of the remaining money for later years, which makes Tooney's cap hit bigger for this season's past 2023. His number will be just under $27 million for 24 and 25, and I'm sure they'll redo it after that again. Aaron Rodgers has a torn Achilles tendon. He'll now miss virtually all of the 2023 season after being injured on the fourth snap of the opener. Jets will move forward with Zach Wilson at quarterback. The Jets have kicked the tires about bringing Chad Henne in because Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator with the Jets, worked with Chad Henne when he was quarterback of the Jaguars. Of course, the Chiefs are at the Jaguars this weekend. Henne did retire after the Chiefs won a Super Bowl last year. Rodgers played four snaps, did not complete a pass in his career with the Jets so far. We'll see if he wants to come back. I'm guessing he will. He didn't want to end it that way, I would imagine. But it's got a lot of work to put in when you're 39 pushing 40. By the way, the Packers have to settle for a second-round draft pick. It was based on playing time, and they thought for sure they'd get a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So the Packers get a second-round pick, and the Jets get four snaps out of Aaron Rodgers. Prior to the start of this NFL season, Jack's American Pub in Milwaukee announced a unique promotion for Packer fans feeling spurned by Aaron Rodgers' departure. If the Jets lose a game in which Rodgers starts, which he did Monday night, and the Packers aren't playing at the same time, which they weren't, the bar will pay everyone's drink tab. So imagine how excited Packer fans were at this bar when Aaron Rodgers goes down on the fourth snap and he's out for the game and he will not return. Well, well, pony up to the bar. The drinks are on the house. So the first shot, boom, you'd pay for that one. You know what? I normally wouldn't get a second shot. I normally wouldn't get a fourth round for the guys at the table. But you know what? The Jets have no chance in hell of winning this game. There is no Aaron Rodgers. Josh Allen, even though he's a turnover machine, the Bills are still going to win. This is easy money. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Xavier Gibson returns a punt for a touchdown. Jets win! Everybody's like, woo! Wait a minute. This big old bill that's, oh dear gosh, I've got to pay this now. Well, that promotion worked out pretty well for that pub, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they might lose later on with the Jets situation, but, man, they thought that was free alcohol, all these patrons, and they realized the joke was actually on them. I think that's awesome. I think it's awesome.
Well, the promotion's over, isn't it?
What's that?
Well, Rodgers is hurt. Actually, he's done for the season.
Actually, it is over. That's true. That's true.
So
I forgot
they did
that.
It one night.
One time
and got
they
all
made
their money.
And they got people to spend more than they normally would. It was the greatest promotion of all time.
Yeah.
You're right. Rodgers got hurt after four plays. That's right. That's the whole part. If he starts, he's not going to start again. You're right. The promotion is over. They cashed in and they're done. Now those owners are partying in the Caribbean.
Yeah,
they're
taking the extra money they got off of the,
oh my God,
the sales that night. And
that's crazy stuff, man. I love it. I love it. Only in sports.